Praise the Lord. As we said, it's always an honor to be in this pulpit at any time, and especially on a Wednesday night hour of power when Pastor Hagin is usually here. But we thank God for them as they have an opportunity to get some rest and do some things that they need to do to continue. And as you know, I think Pastor Bill's the one I've heard say at first that you know, we share our pastors with the world. That's their calling. That's what God has for them to do. And we thank God for them. Amen? So it's an honor to stand here tonight and to follow the leading of the Lord and to do what God wants us to do tonight. Amen? So we're believing great things. Are you believing with me? Helping us out. Glory to God. You know, Jesus said that... He said, there's things I'd like to tell you now, but I can't because you're not able to bear it. And I found this out after this summer. It'll be 37 years I've been preaching, you know, from the first sermon I ever preached. That's what I count it from that first sermon I ever preached. Thank God there's not many around that ever heard that left, but 37 years ago this summer. But one thing I do know that, boy, if you can get a group of people to hook up with you, it sure does make it a whole lot easier. That's why I love to preach at Rhema Bible Church, because you hook up so wonderfully. And so praise the Lord. If you got your Bible, we want to go to James chapter 2. Not to embarrass him, I do want to welcome JP, John Paul, right over here. JP, wave at everybody over there. He's home from college on spring break. Praise the Lord. Up there, Central Christian College in McPherson, Kansas. And part of the golf team there, and carrying a big load of classes, he was telling us in the back. Praise the Lord. They make these kids smarter than they used to. I know that. Praise the Lord. But glad to have him back from school with us. Amen. And so y'all pray for Brother Bill. He needs the grocery bill went up this week. Yeah. Amen. James chapter 2 and verse 8. Now if you're in my class at school on Tuesday, you're going to hear this again. I can't get away from this. The Lord won't, there must be some more for me I need to hear. And so you know how it works. But it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to me tonight to go this direction. You know, I mentioned that the Lord kind of in dealing with me about any time I'm in the pulpit here for a while at Rhema Bible Church to talk about our part as members of the church and, you know, gift using what God's given us and that type of thing of being this. Mrs. Hagin has said this is the year we all get involved. All right. Well, this is an area that every Christian and, you know, we're all called to the ministry, but we're all called to do what the Word of God has to say. And tonight I want to talk to you about the love of God and loving others and specifically that love that moves us and compels us to meet the needs of people, no matter what they are. You know, sometimes if we're not careful, we think, well, there's just spiritual needs. The people just need to hear the word. But you know, if they're hungry, they're not going to hear. If they're cold and destitute, they need a jacket. They're not going to hear. Amen. And besides that, Jesus didn't come just so we could have a spiritual party and high. Jesus came to redeem us spirit, soul, and body. And everything that he did by his blood is shed to meet every one of our needs and the needs of mankind. But you know, how does he do that? He does that through you and I. He works through people. How many of you qualify tonight? If you didn't raise your hand, we'll have a whole different sermon for you afterwards, all right? The prayer team will come down and they'll minister to you. But James chapter 2, verse 8. I'm going to read this from the King James Bible first, and then we'll jump back and forth between that and the message. But verse 8, if you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. Now remember James here, just a little background. James is the pastor of the church in Jerusalem. He is the brother of the Lord, and in fact, grew up in the same household as Jesus did. Had the same mother, of course. And, you know, his father being naturally Joseph, where Jesus' father was, you know, God. Grew up in that household. But now he's the pastor of the church there in Jerusalem. And so almost his entire congregation is made up of Jews who've accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So he uses terms like the law and different things of that because, boy, they're well aware of what the law has to say. And so because people do read that, well, no, wait a minute, brother, where Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. I'm free from the law. Don't be talking about law. Well, there are laws in God's kingdom. And the royal law is to love, what did he say there? To love your neighbor as yourself. He said, if you do this, you do well. Amen. And so it's important there just we don't have time to talk about it. But first and foremost, you're going to have to come to the place of loving yourself. The only way to do that is to know how much God loves you. You got to spend some time in that. But he's talking about that. Now he says in verse 9, but if you have respect to persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. See, I can't just pick and choose who I love. Well, I like you. Now, earlier on, he talked about, you know, if you have given a feast and people come in and you're going, and well, this person comes in, boy, they're looking good. They're sharp dressed. Woo! We'll bring them up and sit them up close. But then somebody else comes in, you know, and they're a little dirty. Or they don't look quite as well. We're going to make them sit in the back, or maybe they're going to have to stand. He said, no, if you're doing that in these things, you have respect to persons, and that's sin. You're not loving your neighbor as yourself in respect to this. Now, he's not talking about giving honor to whom honor is due. You know, times you honor people, invited people and stuff like that. He's talking about, you know, when it comes to love, which is given to everybody. All right? He says this. It says, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he's guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now, if you commit no adultery, yet if you kill, what literally murder, you are become transgressors of the law. So speak and so do as they that shall be judged by the law of freedom. For he shall have judgment without mercy that has shown no mercy. And mercy rejoices against judgment or glories against judgment. Now, here's where he gets really down to the nitty gritty. You know, here again, you can't read through this and not understand that God is going to expect us, you know, to take action on behalf of other people. And what compels us to do that? The love of God. Now, he says, what does it profit, my brethren? Though a man say he has faith and has not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? Even so faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. Yes, a man may say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe there is one God, you do well. The devils also believe and tremble. Now let me pick this up here in verse 14, if you will, from the Message Bible. All right. Let's look what here what Mr. Peterson has to say here. Dear friends, do you think you'll get anywhere in this if you learn all the right words but never do anything? It kind of reminds me of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Though I have all faith and can move mountains, but if I have not love, I'm just making a bunch of noise. Right? He said, you've learned how to say the right thing, but if you don't do anything, does merely talking about faith indicate that a person really has it? Now, we need to talk about faith. We need to be speaking our faith. But there's more to faith than just talking. For instance, you come upon an old friend dressed in rags and half starved, and say, good morning, friend, be clothed in Christ, be filled with the Holy Spirit, and walk out without providing so much as a coat or a cup of soup. Where does that get you? Amen. I don't expect anybody to really shout tonight, but look at verse 17. Listen, look at this in the message. Isn't it obvious that God talk without God acts is outrageous nonsense? Well, let's break, you know, I'll come back there, but let me go to take a little side journey here. You know, what good is it? Oh, you know, I just love my church. Our church, you know, it's so wonderful. I just love my pastors. And, oh, we got, you know, and then we put out an appeal because, you know, we don't have anybody that wants to work in the children's department. Be warm, be filled. But love, something about the love of God on the inside of me compels me that if there's a need in any area, I'm going to fill it. I'm going to do it even if it's not my grace gifting. I'm going to at least do it for a while until those who are supposed to be in there show up. Amen? Well, be warm, be filled. I'm praying for them. He says, that's no good. That's outrageous nonsense. Now, is prayer good? Oh, yeah. We should pray. We should be praying, you know, for our ushers, praying for our youth, praying for our children, praying for all the areas, the music, praying for all those areas. But what about taking that next step? One person said these works here, they called it corresponding actions. Look at verse 18. I can already hear one of you agreeing by saying, sounds good. You take care of the faith department, I'll handle the works department. Not so fast. You can no more show me your works apart from your faith than I can show you my faith apart from my works. Faith and works, works and faith fit together like hand in glove. Boy, I love that. I love that. There's something about faith in God. Remember Galatians 5, 6 says, faith works by love. There's something about faith in God and understanding that love is the motivator of the Christian life. If you're motivated by anything else other than love, you're going to transgress against God's word and God's will. Love is the motivator. Jesus was moved with compassion. Later on in chapter 4 of 1 John, he says, perfect love casts out fear. See, there's no fear when you're in love. When you're walking in the love of God, there's no fear. Nobody can, God's with me. Well, I've heard people say, I'm scared of little kids. That's not a problem. What's a problem is if they're scared of you, then that's a problem. Amen? But you know, something about the love of God that just compels us, that motivates us to do more than just say, be warm, be filled. Amen? I've got to do more. Somebody's hungry, we got to feed them. Remember the Lord's Prayer? What did the Lord tell us? You all, if you grew up in the church I grew up in, from the time you were a little child, you could repeat the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be. Of course, when you're little, it's our Father, which art in heaven. You just kind of, until you really learn the words, art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. I know that phrase arrested a man of God in his latter part of his ministry by the name of Lester Sumrall. The Lord came to him and said, my people are out there praying, Father, give me this day my daily bread, and I'm holding you accountable to do something about it. And he started the Feed the Hungry program. Because people are praying, Father, give me this day. He said, they're hungry. He said, I'm not talking about for the word. They're hungry for food. They have no food. And I know in our area of the country, there in Central Illinois and Indiana, boy, it was big. I know a lot of Ramey graduates got involved, even got positions within the organization, you know, as representatives and that. And they started sending food all over the world. Made a tremendous impact. Amen? That's why Pastor Hagin here and church started the We Care Center to answer that cry of people. You see, love compels you to do something. Love will never allow you to stand on the sidelines and watch somebody suffer. It has to get down and dirty and help somebody. Jesus was moved with compassion and laid his hands on a leper. You're not supposed to do that. But that love just compels you. That love compels. I know I've been in situations where, you know, every once in a while I talk about, and I don't say this to put down the people I was ministering to, but you know, when you're in situations where you don't need a flashlight to search for lice in somebody's hair. I mean, it's obvious, it's there. And you're laying hands on people. They're coming through the line and they're needing the healing power of God. And you're laying hands on everybody, no respect. I mean, you have the thought, but something about the love of God just rises up on the inside of you. And you just take your hand and you put it on their head just like you done did everyone else with no fear whatsoever. I've had people that full blown HIV, AIDS patients, given up to die, just take them and embrace them and hug them. Just grab them. And something about that love that just, you don't even think about, oh, I ought not do this. This, that, you know, they could, what if they sneezed on me, you know? Now, if you're in the natural, you think about those things. And there might be, you better be led by the Spirit now. But when you're led by the love of God, I'm telling you, that love compels you. It won't let you just stand there and say, be warm, be filled. It compels us to action. And I think, you know, it's time. It always has been, but let's leap up and get rid of the outrageous nonsense of talking a good talk. And let's walk the walk. Amen. I know this generation, they're not looking for what you say, they're looking at what you do. Well, you say you love us, but do you really? Amen. Well, now we'll love you if you, you know, get a haircut, do this, do that. You know, qualify our love. No, that's respect of persons. You know, the Bible says God is no respecter of persons. All right. Look over at 1 John. Now, it's obvious that you'll see here in a minute that John and James talking about the same thing here. Glory to God. Oh, I love the word, brother. Are you loving this? Amen. Now, I'm being easier on you. I slapped the fire out of the second year group the other day, the class. I even asked my sons and I said, was that too hard? He goes, what part? It was my last time with that group of students. I don't get to teach them again, so I wanted to make sure they got what we were talking about. The class was called The Minister's Heart. Ministering to people with the heart of God, seeing people the way God sees them. Loving people. Not just loving people who love you or loving people that can do something back for you, but loving everybody. Feeding those who can't feed you. Clothing those that can't clothe you. Cleaning up those that can't help clean you. 1 John 3:14. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loves not his brother abides in death. Now listen, he says we know. So there is evidence that we have been passed from death to life, transformed out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son, been born again, gone from death to life, and that evidence is we love the brethren. He said, if you don't, you're still abiding in death. Verse 15, whosoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive, or this is how we understand the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. I think that's one of the best definitions I've ever heard of the love of God and how we're to walk in love. And that is that we are to lay down our lives for others. Love lays down its life for others. That's how Jesus loved us. Now think about that. He just didn't do a one-time act of laying down his life. He has laid down his life. He left heaven, became a man like us. All right? Died, rose again, seated at the right hand, ascended to heaven, seated at the right hand of God, where the Bible says he ever lives to make intercession for. He's in heaven, King of kings and Lord of lords, and he's up there interceding on my behalf and your behalf. He's not up there. He's not up there getting praised by the angels. He's up there working on our behalf. Because why? He's laid down his life. Jesus said, I didn't come to the earth to be served. I came to serve. So that's the characteristic of this, of what we're talking about. And you can see it's the same thing James saying. You just can't say love that serves people at the expense of itself. Because love wants to give. It doesn't matter the cost to me. I'm going to give it. See, think about God. For God so loved the world that he did what? He gave. And he gave the greatest thing he had. It didn't matter what the cost was for you. That's what God gave. Didn't matter how much it was going to cost. I've got to pay the price. And that same love, the Bible said, Romans 5:5, is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Woo! I got the Holy Ghost. I run. I shout. I got a goosebump once. Have you loved? For the fruit of the Spirit is love. And all the other things. How do we know that we pass from death to life? Well, I speak in tongues. Well, good for you. I prophesy. I laid hands on people. Jesus said, there's going to be people like that. He said, I never even knew you. He said, love. Here, let's keep reading. Who has this world? Whoever has this world's good and sees his brother have needs and shuts up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwells the love of God in him? Now, interesting, you know, to the people who wrote the New Testament and where that part of the world, you know, they talk about the inner part of their body because that's the seat of all, you know, that's where they live. That's part of them. Without those things, you can't live. You know, we don't talk about our intestines very much. That's the bowels. All right. But that's what they're talking about. That very inward part of you. That's where compassion comes from. That's where it resides. But how do you know without those things, you can't live without your bowels, right? He says, if you shut that up, how can you say that the love of God's in you? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and truth. Let me go back here and pick this up in the Message Bible, verse 14. The way we know that we've been transferred from death to life is that we love our brothers and sisters. Anyone who doesn't love is as good as dead. Anyone who hates his brother or sister is a murderer. And you know very well that eternal life and murder don't go together. This is how we come to understand and experience love. Christ sacrificed his life for us. This is why we ought to live sacrificially for our fellow believers and not just be out for ourselves. Wow. Now, you know, it's interesting. Therefore, now I think we've kind of gotten away from it in a sense. Now, thank God, you know, as Pastor, you've heard Pastor Hagin say, thank God, I believe in prosperity. Amen. But is it about, are we just out for ourselves? Amen. I found this out in studying the principles of increase from the Word of God, that increase gives me a greater ability to love people. Increase gives me a greater ability to love people. The more money I have, the more people I can help. If it's not just about myself. All right? But if I start building barns, you know, I got to build another barn. Jesus said, you don't even know your life may be required of you tonight. Then what are you going to do with that barn? You can't take it with you. All right? Well, he goes on here to say, if you see some brother or sister in need and have the means to do something about it, but turn a cold shoulder and do nothing, what happens to God's love? It disappears and you made it disappear. See, you're withholding that. You're withholding it. My dear children, he said, let's not just talk about love. Let's practice real love. And I'm going to keep reading here. This is the only way we'll know we're living truly, living in God's reality. You know, now in this, let's talk about this too. You know, sometimes, you know, well, you know, now there's certain people that, you know, I don't really get along with. That doesn't mean they have the right not to love. How you treat people is important. Amen. You know, to walk in this area and to do this, you know, if you're in business and you're going to have no respect of persons, now obviously you're led by the Lord in certain areas of that, but you know, the Bible talks about employees and employers. He talked about employees. He said, don't treat the Christian employees better than you do the non-Christian ones. Says that. Ephesians chapter 6. See, that's respect of persons and the love of God in that way. Jesus made, he said, God makes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. Why? Because he loves those people. That's so hard for us in our way we perceive love so much because of our carnal thinking, to see that God could actually love that person just as much as he does me. Now, he's not necessarily pleased with their life if they haven't come to Jesus, right? But he still loves them. Now, remember that loving someone is not your stamp of approval on their lifestyle. I heard my friend and fellow 1984 graduate, the greatest class, the winners, according to Brother Summerall, Ed Elliott, say this. He was talking about this aspect, you know. He talked about he was on an airplane one time. Now this blows people's minds, you know. And he's talking to this guy, you know, and they're just kind of talking. They haven't really got into who are you and all this kind of stuff. And he said, right before he said they come and said, would you like something to drink? You know, and the guy had ordered a beer sitting next to him, you know. Right before they delivered the drinks, the guy said, well, I'm a comedian. Ed said, well, I'm a preacher. Right before they came. And here comes the stewardess with the beer. And he said, that guy's looking for a hole to crawl in. He said he'd been cussing up a storm, but after he found out a preacher, he started talking different. He started talking about his mama went to church, you know, his mama and them, you know, they all went to church and all the, you know, the whole deal. He said, and now, so here's this beer. And Ed said, I grabbed it, flipped the top on it, handed it to him. He said, well, you're not going to tell me I shouldn't do that? He said, you already know you shouldn't do that. I'm just here to love you. Guy ended up giving his life to the Lord. Amen. You know, the Bible talks about heaping coals of fire on the heads of people, not literally boiling, not going and starting a fire and pouring it over people's heads, but by your love. Amen. I better go on reading here. All right. Verse 20. It's the only way to shut down debilitating self-criticism. See, there's no condemnation in Christ. Now, if there's no condemnation in Christ, what are we doing condemning people? Because when we receive, it debilitates us. Condemnation does us. So we shouldn't be condemning others either. Even when there is something to it. For God is greater than our worried hearts and knows more about us than we do ourselves. And friends, once that's taken care of, we're no longer accusing or condemning ourselves. We're bold and free before God. We're able to stretch out our hands out and receive what we ask for because we're doing what he said, doing what pleases him. Again, this is his command. To believe in his personally named son, Jesus Christ. And he told us to love each other in line with the original command. Well, that's John chapter 13, verse 35 and 34 and 35. Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another even as I have loved you. We already established how did Jesus love us. He laid down his life for us. Verse 35 says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples indeed, by how you have love one for another. What does that love do? It lays down its life to benefit the other person. Now, the thing about God is God always knows how to do that best. But we've got God, the Holy Ghost, on the inside of us, and he knows how to love somebody, what they need. Now, I think it's great, you know, study all that stuff out, love languages and all that kind of stuff. But if you do that at the expense of developing, being led by the Spirit of God, you're never going to be able to fully love people. Amen. And it's a learning experience. It's learning all the time. All the time learning how to do this. I think it's in Philippians, Paul prays there in chapter 1 that our love may abound in wisdom and knowledge. Other times say understanding. One translation says discernment, that we'd be able to discern how to love somebody. He goes on to say here, as we keep, Verse 23. And again, this is, I just read that. Verse 24. And we, as we keep his commands, we live deeply and surely in him, and he lives in us. This is how we experience his deep and abiding presence in us by the Spirit he gave us. You want to be spiritual? You want to stay and say, I'm full of the Spirit? Walk in love. Love people. He said, by this, this is how he's abiding in us and we're abiding in him, by his Spirit that's in us. And what's in there? What's shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost? The love of God. But it's not just that. It's taking that love to where people are. And if they're hungry, feed them. If they're cold, clothe them. If they're smelly, clean them up. Right? If they're hurting, help them. Who was it? Was it Brother Bill was talking about, you know, the Christian? Was it? I think it was Sunday morning, talking about the all these. Sometimes sermons run together on you, but unfortunately, the body of Christ is known for shooting their wounded. Oh, you fell down. We don't have to deal with you anymore. Forget them. You want to make an announcement? Forget this person. They messed up. Amen. That's not love. That's not love. Hallelujah. But you know, the great thing about it is God, here's the thing about God, never asks us to do something that he's not already doing for us. All these things that he said we're supposed to be doing, he's doing that for us. So we don't have to worry about us getting taken care of. We can now focus on the other person because God's doing it for me. See, I don't have to be self-centered towards me because I got God doing my part. He's meeting my needs according to his riches and glory. So I'm going to go about helping somebody else get their needs met. Amen. And really, if I get out here trying to help people and I get to the end of my thing, I'm going to turn around and say, hey, come on. Come on. Get the supply line running. Pastor talked about that not too long ago. Get that supply line. Amen. Now, again, be led by the Spirit of God.
Well, I can't pay my electric bill because
you got to pay your electric bill too. You understand something? Because don't take, so many times people take these things and they just run. Stay out of the ditch. Stay in the road, will you? Don and Denise's son got his license today. Did a lot for my prayer life. But I'm sure they talked to her, stay in the road, Trevor. Don't drive in the ditch. Right? How many of you ever tried to drive in the ditch? It doesn't work. It doesn't work. Drive in the road. Stay in the road with these things. But let's let love compel us. Amen? Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, we're at the end of our time. Praise the Lord. Don't you love God's word? Even sometimes if it just kind of wakes you up a little bit and gets in your business. I know. I've preached two sermons or lessons here off of those same scriptures, and I'm preaching to myself, I think, so you're just getting to hear it. But I'm being reminded. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. We're going to do this first. We're going to go ahead this time, receive that second offering, and then we'll come back and dismiss the end. So nobody's leaving. I don't want anybody leaving right now because we're going to do other business right now. But let's prepare ourselves. If you want to text to give, 28950, Hagen, space, and the amount, that'll go to Mrs. Hagen. What is the actual date, Denise? May 13th. May 13th, all right? So we'll be, as you can see, we just got a few weeks before that. So anytime, you say, well, I didn't come, anytime during this time, if you want to text to give towards that, you can do that. Anytime, you can write it on your envelope, write Mrs. Hagen on there, or write birthday on there. And it'll go in there, praise the Lord. And I think she's turning 50 again. I'm not sure. I think, it's not my business, but she keeps telling me I'm older than her now. Amen. How many of you have ever seen the video of El Shaddai? Brother Hagin preaching that, pastor's 35 years old in that video, jumping up and down like a jackrabbit, you know. I showed it to my class this morning, and Brother Hagin was talking about that year was the 40th anniversary of him coming up off the bed of sickness when he was 16 or 17 there. But I'm thinking, he's either 56 or 57 when he's preaching that, and I'm thinking, wait a minute, I'm 56. He looked a whole lot older than I did at this age. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. He's not here to defend himself, so. All right, you ready? We're going to receive, ushers, if you get ready. Let's pray over this offering. Amen. Father, we thank you for Mrs. Hagin. Thank you, Father God, for her life. Thank you, Father God, for the anointing and calling upon her life. And because of that, we want to minister to her naturally. We want to give to her. We want to bless her. We want to put money in her hands so she can do what she wants to do, something that's on her heart, something special for her. Father, we give this offering tonight out of love and an honor for your servant. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Go ahead and let's do that. Now, everybody, don't be moving around while they're taking up the offering. That allows them to do that. And as we said the other night, these are the fastest offering taker uppers in the whole world. And the side of heaven. So let them do that, please. Amen. Here in just a moment, when they're done, we're going to invite our prayer team to come on down. And as soon as, when they're done and they'll come down, if you need prayer for anything tonight, if I said something that offended you tonight, just come on down. Ladies to the ladies, men to the men, they'll pray you through. Hallelujah. The Lord is good, is he not? You know, kind of an action thing. Maybe make it your goal this week to find one person to help. One person to help. Just, you know, start with one. Start where you are. Find one person to help. Okay? Maybe if you've never donated to the We Care, do it this week. All right? Just do it this week. I'm going to feed somebody this week. Or you notice in this special, we've got Easter coming up. We're doing Easter bags, you know, for Easter. Help with that. I'm going to do that. I've never done that before. I'm going to do it this week. Amen. You don't have to feed everybody we feed at the We Care. Just feed somebody. Help feed somebody. All right? So think about that, all right? But make it. Don't just listen to this sermon tonight. Put it into practice somehow. Somehow. Do that. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you a story why they're. I was reading someone who's posted about how that they were driving by a situation and this little lady with her walker was out there trying to get her little dog to come back in off the road, and the dog wouldn't go. And so, you know, they drove by and they got convinced. So they turned around and went back and tied the dog to the walker and to help her, you know, and she started going back in. But they said, as I drove off, I looked in the rearview mirror and there was the dog again out in the middle of the road. So I turned around this time and got the dog and put it back, just helping a little lady who is in a walker get her dog back in her yard. Didn't have to preach about Jesus. Just had to love somebody enough. They were headed for a meeting, said I was a couple minutes late, but it was worth it. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's all stand together. Father, we love you tonight. We appreciate all that you've done for us and are doing in us. Father, help each and every one. Father, I ask that you bring opportunities our way, that the love of Christ, the compassion that's in us by the Holy Ghost, would rise up and live big and help us. Give us wisdom and understanding how that we can help meet that need. We give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need prayer, do we have anybody, first-time guests, Brother Marvin? Do we have anybody, first-time guests? If you would, connection team, go with them. Amen. Their connection team folks are already on the move. I saw that. That's what reminded me of it. Thank you. Thank you. If you're looking for a church home, folks, what do we say? Welcome home. God bless you. Thank you for coming tonight. All right. They're headed out, so you are dismissed. Praise the Lord.